Scripture verses from today from the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 20. So let's try to read responsively. So I'll read the first verse and then at home read with me the next verse, and then I'll go back and read the next one and then read with me the following verse. So let's do responsive reading. Here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord. We'll now have today's message by Shepherd Kevin Riley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to all who are watching this on our live streaming on YouTube. I hope everyone at home is doing better. If you've been isolating or if you've been affected with COVID, we want to keep praying for each one of us that this pandemic may be over. So the title of today's message is Put on the Full Armor of God. And so we're going to read the key verse together. You can see it up there, verse 11. Ready? Let's read this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. As Christians, we are on a journey to the kingdom of heaven. Yet while we journey, we are engaged in a struggle against both the dark powers of this world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Because of this, we need to wear the spiritual armor that God gives to us. So let's think about what it means to put on the armor of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that this war that we are in is not against flesh and blood. Therefore, help us to stand firm with this spiritual armor protecting every aspect of our life. Also help us to come before you in prayer, praying in the Spirit so that what we do in our armor becomes effective. Help us to pray. Through prayer, we are lifted up into the spiritual realm where the battle takes place. So thank you for this time. Help us to meditate on this word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 12 describes the nature of our struggle. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wow, what a place we live in. We are in a struggle. Sometimes it does not seem real because the battle is taking place in the heavenly realms. It involves spiritual powers and principalities. But that is all the more reason to engage in this struggle with the spiritual armor that God provides to us. Why did the Apostle Paul use these metaphors of the soldier in these letter to the in his letter to the Ephesians. Perhaps the young Ephesian church, being Gentiles, needed a visual aid to inspire them in their Christian life as they stood against the godlessness of their culture. The same is true for us. It is a visual aid that can help us also. Part one, the belt, the breastplate, and the feet. Verse 13 reads, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." To wear the belt of truth brings out the fact that we are engaged on a battlefield of truth versus lies, truth versus half-truths, what is true versus what is false. The belt of the ancient soldier mostly kept the other parts of the armor in place on his body. Just as the belt in the center of their body held the armor together, so the belt in the center of our being holds all of our spiritual armor in place. This belt is the basis for all the rest of our spiritual armor. Notice it has to be buckled. I like this picture on the PowerPoint because it has the cross of Christ in the buckle. This reminds us that the gospel is, in a very sense, the foundation of all that we do. We put on the belt of truth when we make the decision that the Word of God is what we are going to stand for, and we are not going to fall for the deceptions and lies of the devil anymore. The belt of truth is also more than just a decision. The belt of truth sanctifies the Christian. Yes, we have the Word of God, but when we apply that Word of God in our life, this belt becomes a belt of truth to each one of us. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, said of his disciples, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." We are being sanctified by the Word of God as we wear the belt of truth. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. We know that the breastplate was the armor that covered not only the flesh of the soldier, but more importantly, it covered the internal organs, especially the heart. Herein is the battleground for the heart. The heart could be described as the center of one's being. It is made up of our emotions, but on a deeper level, it is made up of our will. With our heart, we come and worship God. But Satan works hard to turn people's hearts to follow unrighteousness, all kinds of idols, idols of money, idols of power, idols of pop culture, the idols of hedonism and sensualism. These idols lead people down the road to destruction. What then is the breastplate of righteousness to the Christian? Paul wrote that he may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from the righteousness of Christ. What that means is that after we come to Christ in faith, what we do or what we don't do does not affect our standing before the Lord. God views us as being perfect. Well, we are not perfect, but God views us through the righteousness of Christ. This righteousness protects our heart like a breastplate. And with this breastplate, we can fulfill what Proverbs 4:23 reads, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." This breastplate of righteousness is a guard over our heart. For everything we do comes from the heart. It is so important that our heart is protected with this breastplate of righteousness. Third, your feet fitted in readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The Christian soldier is ready when he is fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. The metaphor of the feet is that the ancient soldier had to have his feet ready for battle. The sandals that he wore were of thick leather that protected his feet from top to bottom. On the bottom were installed nails or spikes, like the cleats of a sports shoe, that would give the soldier traction so that when his opponent was coming forward, he could stand his ground. In like manner, our spiritual feet are what we walk with. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul wrote that we used to walk according to the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air. And then, later on, he says, we should walk worthy of our calling in Christ. Our walk in the Lord is important. So our spiritual feet should be prepared and ready with the gospel of peace. But this is more than just memorizing a few gospel verses. As we walk with the Lord and his word prepared in our heart, God takes that preparation and uses it as we speak. Sometimes we say something that we don't even realize it has a great impact on others. But if the walk with our Lord is compromised, we become vulnerable. Many well-known spiritual leaders have had their walk destroyed because the devil schemed to get their feet to walk where they should not walk, and they paid the price. But when we walk with the Lord, with the preparation of the gospel, the opportunity comes. You know, there's a saying in this life, saying in this world, success takes place when preparation meets with opportunity. Success takes place when preparation meets with opportunity. So to God, the Christian soldier who is prepared has feet that are beautiful and swift to proclaim the gospel. That's why Paul said, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Amen. Part 2, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. Verse 16 reads, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Up until now, the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes were all something that the soldier wore. But the shield is different. The shield is something that we must take up and hold up. In a sense, it becomes our first line of defense. Some Roman shields were 3.5 feet tall and almost 3 feet wide, and they afforded soldiers a great deal of protection from enemies. If you saw the movie 300, you saw the soldiers take up their shields and they would form the phalanx formation, and they would cover each other with these shields to protect against these flaming arrows. What is our shield of faith? The shield is God himself. Over and over again, God is described as our shield and our fortress, the one who protects us from the enemy. When Abram believed God, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness, God said that he would be Abram's shield. You can remember that from our many studies in Genesis. That is our faith. It is trusting the promises of God. What is faith? It's trusting the promises of God. But as we live with faith, we live with what I call the ABCs of faith. The ABCs of faith: assurance, boldness, and conviction. Why do we need a shield? It is to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. As I read Shepherd Jim's book on the D-Day invasion of World War II, I read that in 1 hour, over 4,500 American soldiers fell to enemy fire and lay dead on the beaches of Normandy. Why so many? They had no shield. They could not wear flak jackets because it was too heavy. Without anything shielding them, they were exposed to murderous fire. So we need the shield of faith, because when we live with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, and we live in the righteousness of Christ, and we are prepared with the gospel, we are a threat to Satan and the powers of darkness. Because of this, the flaming arrows will come. The flaming arrows come to anybody who is engaged in the spiritual battle. So all the more, we hold up our shield of faith. And God himself becomes our shield against the tricks and the traps and the fiery arrows of the devil. Amen. Next, the helmet of salvation. Our salvation is like a helmet. The soldier's helmet was actually quite beautiful, containing the plumes or emblems of the army. But it was strong enough to guard the soldier from attacks to the head, which could be as deadly as attacks to the heart. If you saw the movie Saving Private Ryan, you might remember the scene where a soldier was struck by a bullet in the helmet that saved his life. But he took off the helmet to look at it, and as soon as he took the helmet off, another bullet came and struck him dead. The helmet of salvation guards our mind, our heart, our thoughts, our dreams, and visions for our life. Without the helmet of salvation, people can believe many things, but not the one thing that is beneficial to them. Rather, with the helmet of salvation, we gain new ways of thinking that affect the decisions we make, the words that we say, and the attitudes that we convey to others. We have a new purpose that is aligned with God's purpose. That does not mean that we forget who we were or what we experienced in our life before Christ, but our mind is transformed and changed for a new and higher purpose in the spiritual realm. So Paul wrote to the Romans, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That is the helmet of salvation. Fifth, the sword of the Spirit. "And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Like the shield of faith, this is an offensive weapon. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. We know where that comes from. It comes from Hebrews 4:12. The soul of a man is, in a sense, his identity. I am no master of psychology or psychiatry, but the soul of the man is his temperament, his personality, his experience of life that makes him to be the way he is. But the spirit of a person is unchanging in the sense that God made man in his image, made him to be immortal, made him to be capable of not only recognizing God, but knowing God on a deep and personal level. Without salvation, people fill their souls up with everything except for God. But it is the sword of the Spirit that can penetrate that soul and go right to the heart of a spirit of man. And when it does, God can do his work. Part 3, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Of course, we heard this verse last week from Pastor Russell's message. Verse 18 reads, "Finally, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Paul also went on to say, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains." Prayer is more than a simple to-do list that we go to with God. Although we do pray for all kinds of things, God wants more than a steady stream of things that we want from his people. How should we pray? We are always to have an attitude of prayer. Once a wise man of prayer described the phrase from the Latin Kyrie eleison, which means Lord have mercy, as the ultimate prayer. We need to pray. We may think of ourselves as mighty warriors who live with assurance and boldness and conviction, but God wants us to pray that we remain humble. Prayer is in its essence is depending upon God. We pray for each other, for our pastors and leaders. We pray for the world. Through prayer, we find that our individual battle has a bigger purpose than being just about ourselves. Prayer is what any church community needs to stay in step with the Spirit and move forward in the spiritual battle, just like our own church. We can wear all the spiritual armor at our disposal, but if we do not pray, we remain disconnected from God and from the spiritual realm where the battle takes place. Well, I have said a lot. Maybe I've said too much. How can we remember all of this about spiritual armor and prayer? You know, I'm not always crazy about acronyms, but as I was preparing this message, the acronyms kept coming at me, kind of like flaming arrows. So I thought up one acronym, and then I read another one. It can help us easily to remember about our spiritual armor and about our prayer. And I'm not going to say a lot about it because you know what I mean. First of all, how should we view our spiritual armor? As you can see up there on the PowerPoint, view is spelled V-I-E-W. So view in the acronym is visualize this armor. Yes, we can visualize the helmet and the shield and the breastplate and the belt of truth. Secondly, internalize the armor. That is, think about the meaning of it. What does it really mean to you and I, as we've spoken about today? Third, E is to exercise the armor. That is, that we go out on the battlefield and put it to the test. We exercise. Without putting this armor into practice, it won't do us much good. Lastly, W means that we win the victory. But the victory for the Christian is not crushing others, like Georgia crushed Alabama in the national championship game. Rather, it is to stand by faith in the battle and to remain standing when the battle is over. The second acronym is the word ACTS. And again, I'm not going to say much about this. You already know what it means. But it's just a good way to remember how to pray in the Spirit. A is for adoration. We come to God with adoration in our heart. C is for confession. We confess our sins. T is for thanksgiving, giving thanks in all circumstances. And then S is for supplication, our prayer requests. You know, after speaking about all of this spiritual armor, there's a tendency to sugarcoat it because it sounds too military. But we are in a bruising spiritual battle in our life. In this spiritual battle, things are demolished and captives are taken, including students, friends, neighbors, and especially our children. If our children grow up and go out into the world without this spiritual armor and without this prayer, they will be vulnerable to Satan's flaming arrows. So Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That does not mean that we will win every battle. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. Sometimes the battle is not just out there, the battle is within our soul. This reminds us that we have to go through many trials as we move towards the kingdom of God. These days, as the pandemic goes on, even with many families in our church, we have to isolate again. Yet if we are isolating, it is a good time to think about how we should live in this world. Do we live on the sidelines where there are no threat, where we are no threat to the powers of darkness? Or do we live in the thick of battle, where even though flaming arrows are being fired at us, our spiritual armor is in place and we remain standing? Amen. And in the end, as we stand in the ultimate and final victory that our Lord Jesus Christ brings, we will stand. Soldiers on the field of battle who stood are rewarded with medals such as the Medal of Honor and the Silver Star and the Bronze Star. I believe in the same way our Lord will reward all who participate in the struggle against the powers of darkness and remain standing. And even if we fall in the spiritual battle, we know what the Word of God says. Even though the righteous fall seven times, he will rise again. Amen. Thank you all for watching online. Let's read our key verse once more. Ready? Put on the full armor of God so that you can... I can't see it from here. I'm sorry. Let's do it again. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I know that our war is not against flesh and blood. So therefore, help us to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness protecting our heart, our feet fitted with the gospel of peace, wearing our shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and taking up the sword of the Spirit. But help us to all come before you in prayer, praying in the Spirit so that what we do becomes effective, and our attempts to live as a Christian soldier may enable us to stand in the evil day and to stand after everything has been done. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.